Don't be there. Don't be there. How often haven't we heard that at some time or another in our lives? Don't be there. We passed our mothers, headed us off before we were about to get into some sort of mischief and said, don't be there. Before the words still echo, the conscience kept in our minds, and we don't. Perhaps it's out of principle, or maybe it's simply a matter of self-preservation, and we don't dare. We take no risk. Instead, we play it safe. Today's gospel tells us something different. It tells us not to play it safe. We take a bit of a turn. But can we? And should we? Preparation is a prominent word these days. Preparation to hear once again the message of God who became incarnate nearly 2 millennia ago. In preparation for the incarnate one's second coming, millennium not included. This preparation. Preparation in a whole series of peripeties in this part of Matthew. This parable, like others around it, speaks of watchfulness. Teaching preparation in a particular way. How so? Is preparation to be conscious or active? To hide or is it easy? The proper approach makes the difference, for success or for failure. There are both contemplative and active aspects to the Christian life. The previous parable in chapter 25 talks of 10 virgins who were told to walk while they wait, and 5 failed because they thought the task too easy. They took their responsibilities lightly. 2 or 3 servants are exhorted to work while they wait, and 1 fails because he thinks the task too hard. What is it? Is working while waiting really too hard? Clearly, Christ would have us do more than be like Saturday Thessalonians, sitting idly by, waiting for his coming. And the angel asked rhetorically, you recall on the mountaintop, why stand ye gazing up to heaven? Why indeed? For he will come again, even us, and in the meantime there is work to do. And so we hear the talents were distributed. The owner leaves immediately, abruptly, without instructions on their precise use. Determining that is really part of the responsibility of their servants. We don't know exactly how the increase came, and it really doesn't matter. But we do know that 2 realized at a time, and the 3rd did not. The posture of the last is quite striking. If preservation of the talent were the paramount issue, then burying it would perhaps be the right thing to do. For that was one of the safest ways of safekeeping in his day and age. You recall the surprise in another parable when a treasure was unearthed in the field. Who would ever have thought that that would be found there? But here the 3rd servant has no concern about property. He fears the owner. And in his conduct, he shows himself to be disobedient. For the servant lives for himself. He does not really care. He is ungrateful, but he rejects the confidence placed in him. He is unfruitful. Not only does he not, he cannot offer anything in return. In short, he betrays himself. The 1st two are rewarded not for how much they reap, which is no numbers game, and the master's response to both is really identical. He's pleased at the effort. They work while they waited. And the 3rd is rejected not for lack of return, but for lack of work. He thought the responsibility too hard, the enterprise too risky, and so he did nothing. Nothing except fail. And in truth, the task was not really hard. But he, rather than cast his bread upon the waters in honest effort, the 3rd servant thought he could secure himself against all this. He did not trust the master, lest he give him a disappointing return, and yet what was disappointing? We do not know. He did not know. He looked to himself, and he didn't dare. But why did the 2 venture forth in another one? Faith. The master does not say, well done, profitable servant, but rather, good and faithful servant. He does not say, you unproductive one, but rather, you wicked, you slothful one. 2 acts in faith, and 1 in fear.
In sanctifying himself, the third servant lives under the law. He seeks to justify himself before the owner. The other two trust. And because they trust, they will risk, they will dare to invest. Trust, faith, that is the key. What follows is quite natural. And then what about here? Do we trust? Do we risk? Do we dare? So God, we do. And thank God that we can. We can because God has risked all for us in his incarnation. We can because Christ dared to take our burden and shoulder our guilt. Without him, in promise and then in the flesh, there is nothing worth risking. In him, there is no risk. There is only certainty. Salvation unto us has come. Because of him, we now can be bold in using the talents entrusted. His word, his sacrament. We here dare to learn how best to faithfully employ these means of grace, that his name might be hallowed, that his kingdom might come among us, and more. And for us, that is what this theological enterprise in this place is all about. In Jesus' day, there were those who sought personal security. In their careful pursuit of religion, with ties scrupulously offered, every jot and tittle of the law observed. All these things I have observed from my youth, a pious Jew once told him. We might presume that that's an honest sentiment, but a misguided one. For such selfishness buries the message. It excludes sinners, publicans, Gentiles, and there. Christ said to let them in. We know better. Living in faith, moved by the gospel, we can do better. In his book, The Grave Digger File, papers on the subversion of the modern church. Osgenis took pains to note God's displeasure when the church idolizes, makes idols of his gift. That is, when they cease to be really means of grace, talents, if you will, to be used, but instead become treasures hoarded, talents buried. Even if people wrongly believe that they thus serve God, they unwittingly become agents of their own subversion. But the times when we become those servants, there is forgiveness. The times when we defend our own turf instead of working in his field, there is grace. Thank God. So now the master is gone. But for how long? One final advent. We do not know, but we prepare. With his grace, we walk. He will. He bids us there to use his talents entrusted, even as we wait for the final word, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. O come, Emmanuel.
Amen.